Let me pray for us as we come around the Word of God this morning. Father, we do ask your Word to be spoken. Lord, I ask that our ears would be attentive to hear. Lord, our minds to comprehend, our hearts to receive, our will, our bodies to do that which you have for us. Lord, challenge us as needed, convict as needed, comfort as needed this morning. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to abound, to bring new life and hope in our midst. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. In order for us to take up resurrection of the body, we must lay down this body, this mortal, perishable, weak, physical body that we all have. When the time comes to lay down this body, for each of us is up to the Lord and God who has appointed for us our days. For some, these days stretch on, and for others, they seem to be cut short from our perception. Many of you have probably heard of the accident this weekend just north of Moose Jaw, and the young lady who died was a fiancée of a dear friend of mine. A life cut short in our perception. But this young lady was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, in speaking with her fiancé, there is hope of resurrection. There is hope of new life. And it's this hope and this resurrection of the body, this hope of everlasting life, which you want to be encouraged by this morning. As was read for us in reflecting on the passing of Lazarus, we have these words of Christ, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" There's a great hope and a great comfort that can come to us at any age, at any stage of life, when we believe this life is not it. We have in this account, if you know the story of Lazarus, who was resurrected, we might say, but I'd rather say resuscitated, for he was still in a physical body here on this earth. But the promise of resurrection, the promise of new life when Christ comes again. For some, the days in this mortal body might seem to be filled with strife. For others, the way may appear easier. For both, for all, in order to enter into the everlasting life, we must come to the laying down of this body, that we might gain the imperishable body, to be raised in glory, a spiritual body. For now, we are but dust, bearing the image of the man of dust. But when we enter the life everlasting, we shall bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus Christ, who is now resurrected and at the right hand of God. This is our hope. And it is a hope for better days ahead, glorious days, when not only the pains of this body, but also the pains of our hearts and souls shall be healed. Karl Rahner, a Catholic theologian, had noted in The Torment of the Insufficiency of Everything. Sounds a little bit negative, bear with me. In The Torment of the Insufficiency of Everything Attainable, we eventually learn that here, in this life, all symphonies remain unfinished. And what he is getting at, that is in this world, in this broken world, in this mortal flesh, with the disease of sin around us, we will not find perfection. We will not find the finished symphony which appeases our very heart. Not only, however, in the day to come, the day of resurrection, will there no longer be any sickness or pain physically, but there shall be peace, love, light in the presence of God. For in that day the home of God shall be among mortals who have put on then immortality. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more, and mourning and crying and pain shall be no more. Yes, when this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then, as we know from the words of Paul, the saying that is written shall be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is my hope. I hope that it is also yours. I hope that this is an ultimate hope in your life. There are a lot of things that we can believe in. There are a lot of things that we can hope for. But not everything ought to hold the same weight in our lives. There are things that ought to grip us. There are things that ought to hold us. There are things that give us hope and sustain us in this life beyond what anything else can do. And when we find, as Joel mentioned in the children's moment, when we lose significant things in our life, there's a greater hope, an ultimate hope that can sustain and hold us in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain, in the midst of illness, in the midst of confusion. There's a greater hope, an ultimate hope that can guide us through this life. Our hope in God, our hope in the resurrection, our hope in everlasting life, our hope in the promises of God which are to be fulfilled, which help us live until such time as they are fulfilled. Encouragement from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will be faint and weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Scripture ties together the ideas of hope and waiting, of waiting and hope. Once you have something, you no longer hope for it. We hope in the promises of God. Not yet having received the fulfillment of them all, we hope for the day in which our salvation shall be made complete, and we wait for it with perseverance, grounded in hope. And Paul encouraged the church at Rome about the future glory which was to come, that of which he noted the sufferings of this present day were not worthy to be compared. Eagerly awaiting what is yet to be revealed, our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. To the church at Galatia, Paul connects this waiting for righteousness, awaiting the day when peace shall be known. The biblical concept, if you will, of shalom. Platinga, a theologian, had noted, shalom is the way things ought to be. A day is coming when things will be as they ought to be. This is our hope in the resurrection and the life everlasting. The foundation of our hope of what is yet to come, our hope of righteousness is Christ in us. Paul to the church at Colossae, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to encourage us with two things this morning. Let us thank God for the hope that we have. And let me encourage us in this thanksgiving merely by reading the words of Peter as found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This life is not it. Your struggles are not it. Your losses are not it. Your pain is not the last chapter. Hope and the promises of God and what is yet to come in and through the finished work of the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Secondly, let me encourage us that these truths that give us hope ought also to lead us to live lives of abandon, holy abandon unto the Lord. This is our calling here and now in the midst of this season, even with its hardship and difficulty, to live into the trust of what is to come, the trust of what has been promised, the reality that this is not it. This is our calling here and now until such day as God calls us home and we find ourselves the redemption of our own bodies, to live out our faith in these mortal, perishing bodies. If you would bear with me, let me read for you a passage out of 2 Corinthians that picks up this picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "We have this treasure." And he's speaking about the glory of God in Christ. "We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." Verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Verse 16. "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." An eternal perspective can help us to live with hope in the midst of difficulty. To join with Paul, who longed to know Christ, and to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. For Paul, as written to the church at Philippi, this involved a sharing in the sufferings of Christ by becoming like him in his death. "If somehow," writes Paul, "I may attain the resurrection from the dead." This was Paul's ultimate hope, to attain the resurrection from the dead through faith in Christ and to enter into the life everlasting, to find himself putting on immortality, imperishability, in the presence of God who will wipe away every tear from his eyes. Paul's hope was to be one of whom God speaks when God says, "Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." And John, in his first epistle, tells us who it is that conquers. It is they who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This belief ought to shape our lives. Our lives ought to be shaped around this hope. Let me read for you one more passage this morning. Also in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, we read, "Brothers and sisters, brethren, family of God, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is a belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But us, our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved." In the midst of this life, stand firm in the Lord. Keep him as the apple of your eye. Hold him and his words close to your heart always. Never depart from his ways, his truth, his life, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. Stand firm in the Lord, the one who has called you to a new life in Christ, empowered by the very Spirit of God. Stand firm in the one who longs to make you all that you were meant to be, the one through whom we are promised the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Let us not live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Hear the words of Paul, which he says with tears, "Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their end is their destruction. Their God is their belly. They live to please the mortal flesh. The mortal flesh is the hope and the destination of their lives. They glory in their shame. They not only live for the mortal flesh, but they glory in the life that they live therein, their hope not set on the things which are to come, but rather their minds set on earthly things. Christ came by his cross to crucify the world to us and us to the world. And those whose minds dwell on earthly things are directly contrary to the cross of Christ. They set their hearts, they set their affection upon earthly things. They love them, they put their confidence in them. Their hope is in the things of this world. And therefore also they're in the despair when there is loss and pain and heartache. But not so with us, people of God. Our hope is in the resurrected Lord and the promise of resurrection and everlasting life. And so we lift our eyes to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, let us say with Paul, our eyes of faith fixed on that which is yet to come. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yes, this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, we give you thanks for the promise and the hope that we hold. Lord, tune our hearts to recognize the wonder and the beauty of what is to come. And Lord, might this hope tune our hearts to sing your praise and to live that hope evidently in these jars of clay until that day comes. To your praise and to your glory we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.